We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics on this Saturday morning. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Emmanuel Lutheran in Waterloo, Illinois.
Now, I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois. And Matt, I want to let you know we have a problem.
Okay. Not again. What is it this week?
First of all, if we could garner some sympathy from our audience, Matt and I are doing one of those marathon recording episodes here. We're doing three episodes because we love you. That's honestly what it is. We could just have them replay something, but we want to do something new for people. So we're trying to work around vacation schedules and stuff here, so that's okay. We don't mind putting in a little extra time.
That's right. Yeah. But never mind that it's Memorial Day and we're in here
that's right.
Slaving away.
Yeah, everyone else is enjoying the weekend, but here's the problem.
But we don't mind. No.
I did not realize this. I forgot to wear my belt today.
Oh, no, your weight belt?
Yeah. No, just my belt on my pants.
Oh, just your belt?
I don't have any belt on, and I'm thinking, oh, my, what if I stand up or something and my pants fall down in the middle of a show?
And I didn't want to bring it up, but yeah. You're wearing your black clergy shirt, your pastor shirt.
Oh, and I don't have the collar.
And there's no tab. It just looks like a hip-happening black shirt.
Like an old Johnny Cash, the man in black. Oh, man, I guess I needed more time to get dressed this morning. I was rushing to get up here to the studio.
This outfit was not Lynn-approved, was it?
No, she'd already left for school. Oh,
that's
now
your
I'm
problem.
So embarrassed. Well, the collar thing we can take care of, because this has happened before. I have an emergency collar in my car, in the glove compartment.
I'm sure every pastor does. Well,
I guess. When you get as old as I do, you do, Matt. But I don't have an emergency belt. So this is going to be interesting for the rest of the day as I make hospital calls and what have you. But just to warn you that I might be a little distracted on today's episode thinking about the fact that I forgot to wear a belt. And thank you for reminding me I don't have a collar either.
But this is radio, so...
That's right. It really doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
Why did I bother to mention it? No one on air will, they won't know.
No one's any the wiser.
That's right. But now everyone knows how forgetful I am. It's the week after Pentecost, and that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about this wonderful Pentecost story. We are now in the season of Pentecost. We'll be having all kinds of Sundays after Pentecost from here on out. So what do you know about Pentecost? What do you find exciting about Pentecost, Matt?
Pentecost. Well, it's a biggie. You have all these big things. You've got Good Friday and Holy Week and Easter. Then you've got those Sundays of Easter. Then you have Ascension.
Yep.
And now Pentecost. So it's really one of the biggies in the church here. There's hymns written just specifically for Pentecost and the focus on the Holy Spirit. So one of the things I like about it is it gives us a chance to unpack a little bit who the Holy Spirit is, that person of the Trinity. Because I think there are misunderstandings out there about who the Holy Spirit is, the function of the Holy Spirit. And this gives us the opportunity to focus a little more on the Holy Spirit, because we don't usually, as Lutherans, I think there's good reason for that, perhaps, but most sermons are not about the Holy Spirit that we preach. But on Pentecost, because of this reading from Acts especially, we get the opportunity to get a little glimpse as to what the Holy Spirit is about, what he does.
And I think you're right. I think that would be kind of a just criticism of our particular brand of Christianity. We love all Christians. But you're right. As Lutherans, we don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, preach about the Holy Spirit. Although, as you pointed out, this is one of the big holidays in the church. In fact, this was the first holiday. I don't know if people realize that. Long before the church celebrated Christmas and Easter, they were celebrating Pentecost. This is what it got started off. Although, I will say this much in defense of the Lutheran church. we probably don't talk about the Holy Spirit as much as other churches do. And as you said, we'll explain why that is. There's actually a good reason. But, you know, I was looking through our liturgy, that order of service we follow.
Yeah.
And we talk about the Holy Spirit all the time in there.
Yeah.
In fact, we even say, may the Spirit be with you. Right? Which is kind of like that. May the force be with you, but different.
And also with you.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's amazing how he's built into the liturgy. But you're right. It's kind of like he stands off to the side a lot of times.
Yeah.
He doesn't push himself forward. He's there, but he's kind of off to his side. And should we talk about that? Well, why that is?
Well, if you want to, because I think that might be how the Holy Spirit wants it.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd want to be front and center, have the spotlight on him.
Well, it's interesting. If you go back to the promises Jesus makes before he's leaving, and of course, one of the chief promises is, I will send you the Paraclete, the Helper, however you want to translate, the Holy Spirit, which is, again, why he says, it's good that I'm leaving.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But he also says, he will bring to your mind, to your remembrance, the things that I spoke to you. And again, Jesus says, he will give you the things that are mine. In other words, this is what people don't understand. People think, okay, we got the Father, he kind of did creation, and then we got Jesus, you know, he kind of did that salvation stuff, dying on the cross, and now we got Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to give us all this new stuff, all this extra stuff. But the biblical picture is the Holy Spirit has actually nothing to give you. Not of his own, anyway. Not of his own. He just dishes out the stuff that the Father and that Jesus have. That's his job. He's the one that distributes the good things of the Father and of Jesus. But really, he doesn't have anything of his own to give you. And so if he spends all his time talking about himself, then he's not doing his job.
Yeah.
Because his job is to direct our attention to God our Father and to Jesus our Savior. That's his job. And like you say, he likes doing that job. Yeah.
You bet. And we'll probably get to this, but when you see the day of Pentecost and then Peter preaches the sermon after Pentecost, I love Peter's sermon. And when you look at Peter's sermon,
Keep talking.
The Holy Spirit's big day, Pentecost, right?
Yeah.
And then you read this sermon that goes on for quite a while, and who's he talking about?
Let me read it to you.
Okay, please.
I think your point is well made. This is Peter now, and as you said, preaching on the day of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he is filled with a spirit. You can't get any more spirited than Peter is. And this is what he says, brothers, I may say to you, sorry. Is that it?
Where are you at here?
I'm sorry. I'll find it. Men of Israel, here we go. Hear these words. All right. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So there you go, Matt, just what you said. Here's the Pentecost sermon, nary a mention of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, not much Holy Spirit talk.
Yeah.
And again, I think the Holy Spirit is probably saying, right on, preach it, Peter. Because he doesn't want the spotlight. So who's the sermon about? It's about Jesus.
Yeah, all about Jesus. Yeah. In fact, it's basically just what we recite in the Apostles' Creed, right? Born, conceived, suffered, buried, dead, raised again, ascended. Yeah, it's all Jesus talk from beginning to end.
Yeah. So I think that's why we, as Lutherans in particular, don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. Not that like you say, it comes up in the liturgy and certainly in Bible class and different things. But when it comes to preaching, I think specifically, it's Christ-centered.
Yeah,
That's the way the Holy Spirit wants it.
And here's the other interesting thing. So we're talking about what the Spirit wants to do, okay? Because you know, John, it talks about testing the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to be aware of that. Just because a guy goes around saying, oh, spirit this and spirit that, that doesn't mean he's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other spirits there. So now we've got one test. If you want to make sure it's the Holy Spirit, the guy's going to be talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And if he's talking a lot about something else or a lot about the Holy Spirit even, we might think, well, wait a second. This is not what the Spirit does, at least not what he did on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share with you another thing. I go back to, I'll let you read this time. Go back to verse 14. Again, this is actually the beginning of the sermon.
Okay, so Acts 2, verse 14.
Yeah.
But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judah, Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel.
I'm sorry, I got to go off on a sideline here. It wasn't what I was heading, but I just got to go off because this. So what's this business about these people are not drunk?
Yeah,
what's
probably, he talking about? Mention the context here. So already the Holy Spirit has come, and one of the results of that is that the people, the disciples in particular, are able to speak in different languages as the Spirit gives them utterance. They're able to speak in other tongues. And for a purpose, as it says in verse 11, to tell the mighty works of God. So the people are...
So it's not just to say, hey, look at this. Yes. I can speak French. I can speak German. But there's a purpose so that, again, the word of God could be proclaimed.
You bet.
Go ahead. I interrupted.
No, that's an excellent point. And then in verse 12, people are amazed or perplexed, saying, what does this mean? But some others mock, saying, they are filled with new wine. So...
I love it. You know, which that always tickled me because have you ever had to deal with drunk people before, Matt?
All the time.
Whoa, what is this going on in Emmanuel Waterloo?
Well, let me tell you about my vicarage here.
Oh!
No, no. Oh, jeez, that's terrible.
You know, it is sad to say, but a lot of times at weddings and other church events, we do encounter the people who maybe have had just a few...
Holy cow!
Yeah. So, yeah, the earlier you leave some of those receptions, the better as a pastor.
I had a drunk guy that wanted to get in the car with me as we were leaving from a wedding reception. No, this isn't your car. I don't think this is where you belong.
Pastor, I want to come home with you.
Okay. Anyway, the point is most drunk people don't even speak their own language real well, a little less other people's languages.
But, you know, I suppose if you heard someone else speaking another language that you don't know, then you're thinking, that sounds a little funny. What's going on?
That's a good point. So maybe it did just sound like gibberish to them, although the text pretty well indicates that everyone was hearing it in their own language.
So, again, it was with a purpose that people could understand. Yeah.
Yeah, not just impressive.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it always tickled me because I always wanted to begin a sermon that way. Look, I'm not drunk. It's too early. The bars aren't open.
It's too early in the day.
But I haven't had an opportunity to do that yet. Anyway.
There's no sarcasm when you hear it.
I'm sorry I took us way off far afield there. Although it did tickle me, this is proof of what it says in the Old Testament, the atheist is a fool, right?
Yeah.
Because the atheist makes conclusions that, no, that's not logical, that's not rational. Admittedly, faith is a hard thing, but atheism actually is harder in a sense. You have to kind of put aside your reason in a sense.
Paul, that's exactly Paul's, Peter's response is, it's too early to be drunk, just like you said. You know, it's logical. You know, it's only 9 in the morning.
This doesn't, your explanation does not fit.
Exactly.
We know. But here's the point I actually was going to make. So we got Peter, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit, which means that his words are actually the words of God at this point. We've got the inspired spokesman of the Lord. Peter can say anything, and it will be scripture. It'll be put down in the Bible. People like you and me will be reading it hundreds of years, thousands of years later. And so what does Peter do? He quotes the book of Joel.
Yeah.
Or Joel, as he's sometimes called.
I thought you just put in kind of a Hebrew spin on it.
Either that or something from Superman. Because isn't that always Joel or something like that in Superman?
I don't know either.
I don't know why I went with that. But this is what impresses me. He quotes the Bible. He's quoting the scripture. He has a spirit, but he doesn't want to deliver a sermon without having a Bible passage to back up what he's saying. And in fact, isn't it interesting, Matt? Halfway through the sermon, he starts doing the same thing. For David says concerning him, I saw. He starts quoting the Bible. Peter, you are the man inspired. You don't need to read the Bible. But this is what the Spirit loves to do. Loves to quote his own stuff.
Good stuff. Well, that's great. I think it gives credibility and backs up what Peter has to say. And I think it also shows this unity between the Old and New Testaments. This is the fulfillment of what has been spoken by the prophets. And now I'm in this long line of people that God speaks through, and I'm telling you the same thing. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that's been told.
And that is the neat thing. See, it's not like we've got a new spirit coming here, but it's the old spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit that was in Moses, the spirit that was in Isaiah, the spirit that was in David,
And the Holy Spirit is eternal. I think that's important to point out, too. He's not just someone that shows up here on this day of Pentecost in the New Testament, but no, he's there at creation before creation.
Oh, yeah, good point. With the Father and the hovering Son. Over everything that's going on. And now he's come. And here's the exciting thing, Matt. He's coming to us. Because sons and daughters, slaves and free, everybody now has got the Holy Spirit. It's not restricted to one particular group of people, but it's being poured out on all.
And I think that's when you talked earlier about evaluating whether someone really has the Spirit or they're preaching or teaching. And I think another good thing to listen for is, are they quoting Scripture? Or do they bring you back to God's Word? Or are they claiming that what they're saying is a brand new revelation, something better maybe than Scripture, or maybe something to add to what Scripture says? And that's kind of a warning sign, too, because here, Peter himself on the day of Pentecost doesn't even do that. Instead, he goes back to the Old Testament Scriptures, like you pointed out, and then builds off of those and teaches from those.
And you just sent shivers down my spine, because that's what every false spirit does, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the false spirit of Mormonism? Oh, well, that Bible, that's not good enough. We need to have the Book of Mormon. What's the false spirit of Islam? Oh, yeah, we need to have the revelations of Muhammad. Not that Jesus isn't a good guy or a prophet. Sure he is, but we've got to have the better revelation. Jehovah's Witness, again, oh, yeah, your Bible, that's not any good. You need to have the new improved translation. So, wow, you hit it right on the head. The false spirit is always going to say, oh, what you got from the old spirit wasn't enough. You need some new stuff, new and improved. But even Peter doesn't do that.
Even Peter, and if anyone had the quote-unquote right to do that, it would be Peter, but he doesn't. No. He goes back to the Old Testament Scriptures, builds off of those, refers back to them, and certainly doesn't preach anything new, but really just the fulfillment of what was foretold.
Yeah, and you're right. I like what you said earlier, too. He simply wants, in fact, you shouldn't believe me if I can't show you that this was what it was in the Old Testament. Because if this is something new, then it's not from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit just basically says the same thing over and over again. Another thought came to my mind as you and I are discussing. And by the way, we want to give all credit to the Holy Spirit. Seriously, because a lot of times Matt and I come in here, we've planned this. We don't just do it off the cuff.
Believe it or not.
But that is. There's something hard. Good point, man. But this one we said, hey, we want to talk about the Pentecost. We'll let the Holy Spirit lead us where he wants to lead us.
Yes.
Could I ask you to read one more passage?
Yeah, you bet.
All right. Let's get to the end of this business with verse 36, if you could.
Okay, chapter 2, Acts 2, verse 36. Yeah. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified.
So at the end of the sermon, again, it's still all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But now look at verse 37.
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do?
Which again, this is the mark of the Spirit. The Spirit actually does change people's hearts.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the same guy that was, 50 days before shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Mm. And now they're cut to the heart, which is a very graphic image. This isn't something they're just doing on the outside. Like, sad to say, often, maybe even you and I do in a church service. We say all these wonderful, rich words, but actually, we're thinking about the fact I don't have a belt on. But I've got this big robe on, so I guess it doesn't matter. Just I hope my pants don't fall down. But no, these people are really cut to the heart. They mean what they say. Did you have a comment on that?
Well, no, I think it's neat. You know, I mean, what's Peter's sermon? I mean, at this point, he's saying, you crucified him.
Yeah.
And they could say, you know, they could just get angry and walk away.
That's right.
But by the power of the Holy Spirit, they're cut to the heart. Now, that word of law here really, you know, works. And they asked, what should we do?
And
there's a change.
Wow, what a powerful insight that you just had there, Matt. Because this is what they had done earlier when Jesus had said these things to them. They walked away and they grumbled and said, well, we're going to kill him. We need to nail him up to the cross. Yeah, that was their original response. But you're right, now with the Spirit, now they are repentant.
Yeah.
What must we do? Here's the part, though, that, again, I keep wandering off. Because here's the thing that struck me I think is interesting. Read the next verse.
Sure. Verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
It's so interesting to me, that so many people that really want to make a big deal out of the Spirit and want to say, well, you know, we like you Lutherans. We're not saying you're not Christian. We'll all, but, you know, you Lutherans, you just don't do enough of the Spirit stuff. It's also these same groups that downplay baptism.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
It is interesting, yeah.
Baptism. Oh, you can do that water baptism stuff. But no, that's not, we need the baptism of the Spirit. That's what's important. Mm-hmm. That's what's crucial. And what always tickled me is on the day of Pentecost, on the day of the Holy Spirit, if anybody was going to say, yes, this is the day you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit, Peter says that they need to have a water baptism. And by the way, for those out there say, oh, no, he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, obviously, he's saying you're going to get the Spirit, but he's talking about a water baptism here, Matt.
Yeah.
And we know that for a fact because later on in the text we're told, what was it? Some 2,000 people were baptized.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. They got in the water there, had the water poured on them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as Jesus had commanded. So I just always thought that was interesting too, that when you get the Spirit talking and you're saying, well, Spirit, what must I do? One of the first things he says is, well, if we haven't done it yet, we really need to get you baptized.
Yeah.
Why get baptized? What's it say there, Matt? Why is that such an important thing for the Spirit that people get a water baptism?
It's in God's name for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yeah, and you will receive the gift.
And the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So I've always found great comfort in that because I have some charismatic friends, and I love them, and they love me. So, but they'll kind of kid me a little bit. Yeah, you don't speak in tongues, John, and, you don't have the and I was going to say, hey, look, I don't want to argue with you. You've got your way of doing it. That's fine. But this is what Peter told me. Peter told me that if I want to have the Holy Spirit, what I need to do is to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and then I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
I will have the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Because that's what he promises. He promises the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he doesn't promise you're going to be speaking in tongues and all these other things, but he does promise, you're baptized, you have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and the forgiveness of sins.
Sins, life, salvation, all those things wrapped up.
You name it. You got it all.
You got it. Because God promises it.
So just to people out there who maybe are wondering if they have the Holy Spirit, because maybe they haven't seen these miraculous manifestations and everything, please don't beat yourself up over that. Please just listen to the Word of God and believe what God has to say, okay? Because God is pretty clear here that if we have Jesus, if we have the forgiveness of sins, if we have the baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you got the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what troubles me. I hate to see people having doubts and people having concerns where God has spoken and made his word clear. So,
yeah.
Well, anything else you want to say? We're almost done with our Pentecost episode. Anything else you want to wrap up about the whole Holy Spirit? Because I'm shot. I'm done. And I got to go back to holding my pants up.
I know. I think we've covered it pretty well. I think the only other thing maybe is to add is just what's the end result of this day of Pentecost?
Oh, yeah.
What happens?
Yeah.
It wraps up here with verses 40 and 41. I'll just close with those. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received the word were baptized. There it is again.
Yeah.
And there were added that day about 3,000 souls.
Yeah, awesome.
Incredible. Awesome. And again, only by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Yeah,
working through the words of Joel, working through the words of Peter to create that faith.
Working through the words of Jesus Christ.
That's the big one.
Total focus upon him as the one who suffered, died, and rose again.
You bet. Yeah. The object of our faith.
Blessed Pentecost, Matt.
Yeah, happy Pentecost to you too, John, and we will see you next week.